Do not leave Jerusalem. Acts, chapter 1, verses 4-8. Today's verses are from a book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 4-8. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This is a confession of a convict in the UK. This convict was jailed for 40 years. He was whipped with a leather lash 50 times multiplied by 8 times. He was whipped for 400 times. But the way he lived did not change. So the police and the prison staff, they were worried about him. But he had a chance to sleep at Salvation Army lodging for a night, and that night he came to believe in Jesus and he was born again from then. This is a testimony from him. "I was whipped 400 times by a leather lash, and I lived in a jail for 40 years. But I was not changed. But because of Christ, I got changed in 1 or 2 minutes." He confessed it. The life in jail for 40 years, that could not change him, was changed overnight because of Christ. That is right. Faith is about change. Christianity is a religion of change. Ideas on veils, ideas on life, views on the world, vision and coming back to the original essence is what a change is. The fruit of blessings shows up in change. The bad person becomes a new person. Darkness changes to a light. The depression changes to a hope. Bad habits get stopped. So, when we believe in Jesus, our identity changes. The slaves of Satan become children of God. The language changes positively. Because of the changes in everyday lives, we would be accepted, recognized and respected. It is all because faith is about change. Saul changed to Paul. Jacob changed and became Israel. Faith cannot be obtained by decoration, but it is being changed. Even though we live as Christians, if we still keep bad habits, then that faith is not yet fully ripe. How long you had the faith for is not an important issue. It does not make a difference. Also, the title does not make you changed. The change happens through the work of the Holy Spirit. Also, the change of faith starts from the heart and the soul. If we look at the words of Jesus, almost all of them were linked to the issues of the heart and the soul. He said in the Bible, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Jesus said that what goes in the people's mouths do not make the people dirty, but what comes out of the mouth make them dirty. He said to the Pharisees that act as if they are holy, that your insides are like the open tombs. He criticized them. The faith begins from the internal changes. Who can initiate these changes? It is the Holy Spirit. Only in the power of the Holy Spirit, it is possible. In Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty." The work of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, that was the turning point of changes. People experienced the work of the Holy Spirit in the upper room of Mark, and they became transformed Christians. Changes showed up in their lives and their true nature changed as well. Firstly, they were proud of themselves previously, but their boastful pride changed to testimonies that honored the Lord. Also, the ideas on their possessions changed. All the possessions that they owned, they actually thought that they were all theirs, but they got to confess that everything is the Lord's and He is in charge of everything. Thirdly, their owner changed. The life that they thought that they were the owners of their lives changed to the life that acknowledged the Lord as their owner. Also, fourthly, it was the birth of church. Due to the work of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the early church started to be established. Therefore, the main figure of church is only the Holy Spirit. The worship service, that the Holy Spirit exists, the praise and worship, that is full of the Holy Spirit, and the church, that moves according to the emotional move Holy Spirit is the true church of God. Therefore, in the center of the church, always, the Holy Spirit needs to be at work. We now need to back to the Acts. The book of Acts is called as the March of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, this does not end at the chapter 28 of the book of Acts. This is still going on now. Today as well, we need to long for the work of the Holy Spirit that was present at the time of Pentecost. We need to be fully filled with the Holy Spirit to become the witnesses of Jesus. So the Bible says in John, chapter 14, verses 26 to 27, it says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." This is the time of the Holy Spirit. We need to be recharged with new strength through the Holy Spirit. Our main passage of today talks about the death of Jesus on the cross. The disciples were disappointed because Jesus died powerlessly. They began to leave Jerusalem one by one. Jerusalem was where the disciples failed and that was where they were scarred. That was the place that they did not want to stay any longer. But the Lord commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem and wait for the gift that the Father promised you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Then how did the work of the Holy Spirit begin to happen? What kind of place was Jerusalem? In verse 4, it says, "On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." Jerusalem was the place where they were failed and got scarred. According to the history of redemption, Jerusalem is a place where it has a historically significant importance. It was a place where Abraham gave Isaac as a sacrifice in the Old Testament days. And also, as in the 2 Chronicles, chapter 3, verse 1, "Then Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David. It was on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite, the place provided by David." So it was a place where the Solomon Temple was built. In the New Testament days, that was where the salvation of the humanity was completed as Jesus carried the cross on his back. But at that time, Jerusalem was a place that the disciples wanted to leave from. That was a place that they did not want to stay any longer. That was a place where the disciples failed because of the difficult times and the persecution. Jerusalem was a place where they only had a memory of abandoning the Lord and fleeing away from there. But why did the Lord say to them, "Do not leave this Jerusalem"? The reason for saying "do not leave" there was, this meant that do not get away from the issue but face it and solve it. For us as well, as we live our lives, we get to face the conditions just like Jerusalem. The things that we expected might have turned upside down, so we would have experienced failure, betrayal, illness and also disappointment. How many times did we feel that we did not want to stay here but leave straight away? If we look at the people that were scarred from our country and immigrated to the other countries, a lot of people left to find new dreams. They had hope in their hearts and left here, but in a few years, they spent all they had, they met wrong people and some of them were tricked into a fraud. In Korea, they were in the top positions of big corporations, they were proud of their prestigious educational background, as they were mostly graduates from top universities in Korea and they had good lives here. But once they left here, they started from scratch in a new country. They did not even imagine working in a 3D type of work, difficult, dangerous and dirty conditions. I saw a lot of them regretting. They were the people that wanted to escape from the problems in Korea. But in fact, the problems do not get solved by fleeing from it. Have a look at the family of Naomi in the Book of Ruth. Because there was a drought in a region of Bethlehem, to be away from a drought, they went down to a region of Moab. But, have a look at what has happened in Moab. When Naomi came back after losing her husband and two sons, she said, "Do not call me Naomi but call me Mara." This is a confession that she went away from the house of God and drank a bitter cup of drink. Sometimes we face hard problems as we live our lives. In that case, if we get away from these, the problems do not get solved. But rather, we need to face these problems to solve them. My dear family in Christ, do not leave Jerusalem. Do not be afraid of the obstacles. Do not be afraid of the failures. When you encounter issues, do not get away from these, but face them to solve the issues. If you have fled away from these, because things were too hard to put up with and too hard to cope with, and then go back to Jerusalem. Go back to the place of your mission, and wait till the things get restored. Then what should we trust and wait for? Trust on the promises and wait. Our wait is not just a wait, but it is waiting for the promises of God. What is the promise of God? In verse 5, it says, the Holy Spirit. It tells us to wait for the presence of the Holy Spirit. The true Christian lives are not about acting according to my own thoughts and my ways, but we need to know that it is getting guided by the Holy Spirit. Reverend John Bunyan of the UK, who wrote a book titled Pilgrim's Progress, he was jailed for not obeying the command of the king and for telling gospel to others. One day, the prison guard that had respects for Reverend Bunyan opened the prison door and told him to go home. Reverend Bunyan went his way towards his home for a while but soon after came back. "Why did you come back?" the prison guard asked him. He answered, "I am thankful for your thoughts and your helping hands, but it was not the way that the Holy Spirit had led, so I came back." An hour later, the king himself checked on the prisoners, and also checked that John Bunyan was there. The king went back. The prison guard told Reverend Bunyan like this, "Reverend, you acted according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, so you lived and I also got to live. From now on I am not going to advise you to go or not, so when you want to act according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, go whenever you want to go, and come whenever you want to come." Yes, that is right. Living according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit is faith, rather than living according to my own thoughts and my own ways. When we ask the Holy Spirit for the right ways, and when we follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we get to experience that the Holy Spirit is at work, and we get to experience that the Holy Spirit would lead us to the best possible ways. The timing and the due date are all in the hands of God. In verse 7, it says, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know." When the Father told the disciples to wait for the promises that He had prepared for them, the disciples asked Him, "When would that be done? And until when would this be completed?" When they asked Him, the Father said, "That is all under the authority of God." In other words, the timetable of history is in the hands of God. God takes care of the individuals, the nations, and the history. The end of the individuals and end of the history as well, these are all in the hands of God. In other words, the life and death, the authority of these are in God. Therefore, we need to let God to work on the timetable of history. We need to leave everything in God's hands. There are three kinds of secrets that only God knows about. Firstly, it is a secret of death. No one knows about the time of death. It is the secret that only God knows about. Also, the second secret is the time that the Lord returns. For sure, the Lord will return to us. But in terms of timing, when He would be back, no one knows about it. It is a secret that only God knows about. The third secret is the time of answer for our prayers. Even we thought that we prayed well today, it does not mean that we have received answers to our prayers. Also, just because we dozed while we were praying, it does not mean that God did not hear our prayers. These are our own imaginations and mere emotional feelings only. There is a timetable that God had set. When it is God's set timing, He would answer. Therefore, do not feel weary saying that something does not get done straight away, but just wait for His perfect timing. When you want to gain more fruit from trees, even if you try to pull them out, it does not mean that this would bear more fruit more quickly. In Galatians, chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest, if we do not give up." I hope you will patiently wait for God's perfect timing and wait in anticipation. Wait till the Holy Spirit comes. In verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Through the Holy Spirit, the power will be received. The power means, it is strength, like a dynamite blasts, like a bomb blasts, it is an enormous strength. It talks about the powerful strength of God showing through the people. When the people were full of the Holy Spirit, the evil spirits fled from them and the illness disappeared from them. The weak people become powerful people. The shy people, the people who have a lot of fear, they would become confident and bold. The people would be able to fight against the sins and be able to live victorious lives. It is all because the Holy Spirit would give the power. In Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "So he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty.'" That is right. What would we do with the power of humans? The Holy Spirit needs to be with us. We become the witnesses of Jesus through the Holy Spirit, as in verse 8. The words that tell us, "Become my witnesses," this command is the most important mission for the apostles. A witness means a person that has actually seen it. It means people that have seen the cross and the salvation. When they received the power of the Holy Spirit, they became witnesses of Christ that spread the others about the cross and the salvation. The people of the early church were like that. They were persecuted and martyred, but they told the others that they were the witnesses of the cross and the salvation. What is our mission? It is for us to become the witnesses of Jesus. It is to tell others about Jesus. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This is what he said. Why did the Lord come to this earth? He came to save the souls. Why did he have to carry the cross on his back? He carried the cross on his back to save the souls. What was the purpose that he gave the power of the Holy Spirit? He gave the power of the Holy Spirit so that they could become the witnesses of Jesus. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we should not leave from Jerusalem, but we should hold on to the promise of God and gain new strength. We need to become witnesses of the gospel. Jerusalem is the nearest place. Starting from our family, our neighbors and our community, our mission is to spread the gospel. And we need to go out towards Judea and Samaria. Judea indicates the gospel spreading to our people, Samaria indicates the gospel spreading to the ends of the world, and we can see it as the world mission and evangelism. I bless you all in the name of Jesus, and pray that you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and will live your lives as the witnesses of Jesus. The Holy Spirit helps with our weaknesses. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. This is what Romans, chapter 8, verse 6 says. Therefore, ask the Holy Spirit for the ways. He would be your guide. He would guide your ways, not of the ways of the past, but the present and the future. Do not leave Jerusalem just because you are having hard times and you have tripped over. Do not leave Jerusalem just because you have failures. I hope and pray in Jesus' name that you will patiently wait till the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that worked at Pentecost, would come to you and bless you immensely. I pray all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.